here at Brighton Fringe, day one, and it's always good to hear of a venue that's really flourishing at the Fringe, that's not a huge one, and that's Junkyard Dogs in Brighton. And I'm joined by Miranda Porter, who's zooming up to actually Wandsworth Fringe this evening, but he's also playing Brighton Fringe. Miranda, your show is called...
It's called She It Happens.
Okay, which is an intriguing title. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's a one-person physical comedy, and it's about gender dysphoria, but more widely kind of what the length someone might go to change their body and how that affects how people perceive them.
So that theme, I mean, I guess what can you do in physical comedy that particularly lends itself towards exploring that issue?
So much. I mean, 50 minutes worth. My show specifically looks at chest dysphoria. So the character would like to achieve a flat chest, and they're set in an office, they work in the office, so they use the objects around them and see how they can achieve that. And the objects that present themselves are a roll of tape, a stapler, a hole punch, there's a glue stick, elastic bands. You might start to have the images come to your head of how their desperation to achieve this task drives them to use these objects in interesting visual ways.
So where did the idea for that come from?
The idea came from I wanted to do a show about gender, and I was specifically interested in makeup and clothes. And then with clothes, I realised that when I wore men's clothes, they wouldn't fit me the way they were intended to. And so I started to look more into chest binding and binders and chest dysphoria. And then I realised actually that was what I wanted the show to be about.
Something that really interests me about that is, having seen lots of other work, this might sound like something very different, but there is a character, a comedian in Brighton called George Egg, and he does a show where basically it's a trilogy, but the first one, he finds himself in a hotel room, kind of, travel lodge or something, and basically there's a garage over the road and he wants to eat dinner and there's kind of nothing on sale in the garage. And it shows you in his inventiveness, and he does it in front of us, how he uses all the contents of a hotel room to cook himself a three-course meal, including some little bits of stuff in the minibar, but also how he uses the light fitting and the towel rail to heat food up. But what's beautiful about that as a piece of almost kind of, tragic comedy too, is it's that we're in a world at the moment where everyone tries to buy solutions. They try and, is it on the NHS? And what you're getting to the heart of is, sometimes we want to change things and we don't all have the same amount of money or access. Is we have to make it up, we have to be inventive. So that seems to be at the heart of this show too, that we could probably all relate to this in different ways, because in the end it's just us and our creativity.
I think that's kind of a common element of a lot of clown shows, is we really enjoy people's inventiveness and ingenuity and resourcefulness. And it's so nice to see someone like have an idea and then follow through with that and see where it takes them.
Too.
Yes. Yeah. While I think that kind of solution of immediate resourcefulness and having to draw upon yourself and what you have is in the show, I think more widely I'd like to kind of the audience to understand kind of the feeling of dysphoria and kind of that desperation, and so with that, why someone might seek to have surgery on the NHS or privately, whether that be paying with time because you have to wait many years to have that, or with saving up for the funds to have it privately. I hope that the show gives some insight into that that experience.
And I suppose that, sometimes we need to go outside of ourselves for help, and sometimes we have to find it within ourselves.
Yes.
And actually, isn't that the heart of what clown performance is too?
Definitely. I think there's a huge parallel. That duality of, how we perceive ourselves and how other people perceive us, and how that is kind of symbiotic and informs each other. And I think clown performance is excellent in lending itself to that, because you're there present with the audience.
And I just interviewed earlier a clown, and the question I asked also, it's kind of a cheeky question in a way, and it's a nosy question, which is, in the rehearsal room then, how much is there you in the mirror and just you, and how much have you had to seek input and direction from other people?
Sure. So I don't work with a mirror, I work with my webcam on my laptop.
Okay.
And I film a lot, and a lot of the rehearsals have been just me and the camera, and then watching it back. But I have had people watch it as well, sometimes via Skype, and sometimes coming into the room. And often they pick up on the things that are really kind of obvious and simple, and that I've just sort of looked beyond, even if it's something simple as like, oh, you should clock when you come in, or like on that entrance. So it's really, really handy for that. So it's definitely a balance between the two, but I have spent quite a lot of time also just with the mirror by myself.
And what's your process of, you know, approval of you?
Approval of?
That's in. That works.
Okay.
That doesn't work.
When, if I watch it back and I laugh at it, if someone who's watching it laughs, if it works like a second or a third time. But it's an ongoing thing as well, because it's present and alive in the moment. So if the audience laugh and they like it, and if in the next couple of shows something doesn't work, I'll probably tweak it within this run. I think the piece is never kind of, or definitely at this point, isn't static. I've been doing it for about a year, but it keeps evolving, and I'm very in tune with how it's being perceived and the reaction to it.
I'm not sure if it is present at this year's Brighton Fringe, but certainly at Edinburgh Fringe there will be stand-up comedy about dysphoria. Yeah. And of course those comedians, I mean, they may gesture, they may use timing, they may use little theatre techniques, but at the heart of it will be their ability to have a script and words.
Yeah.
What opportunities are there for not going down that route and being a clown?
So I've somewhat, by choice, limited myself to those opportunities. There's no text in my show at all. I think, for me, that lends itself to people kind of maybe approaching it with a bit more of an open mind, because no one is required to know any terminology or have kind of that vocabulary of how they've understood it and their experience with it so far and what they know about it. Because also I wanted it to be beyond the boundary of, like, an English audience. So I think there's, I hope with the show it expresses the feeling and how that permeates in someone and affects what they do, more than just kind of the intellect of, like, these are the words for these experiences or these identities, and how can I see that and label it.
When I was about four, I was in our kitchen at the breakfast bar, and I painted a picture of a monster, looked at it, burst out crying, apparently ran into the living room, and then I wouldn't go back in until my mum had thrown it away, because I was so freaked out by it. But when you do deal with personal and sensitive and difficult, and actually in this case very visceral and physical material, have there been moments where you've found it quite hard to perform it?
Yes, definitely, and I had hesitations at first because it is quite exposing, literally. But for me, as someone who experiences some dysphoria, I found it very kind of empowering and has given me more ownership of my body, because I think a part of my dysphoria came from how people perceived it and how I thought I had to present myself. And now I feel like I have more agency to be like, actually, this is what I want to do with it and how I want to use it. And my favourite thing is to make people laugh, and to be able to take something I don't like about myself and use it to make people laugh just feels like the best use of that thing I could do with it.
So finally, what's your invitation for people to come and see the show?
My invitation?
Yeah, just a gentle, you know, come and see this show.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
We won't need to use PR and the word amazing. We're going to invite people to come, because there's a lot of shows to see, and this sounds a bit different. I can recommend the venue, because there's some nice food and stuff in the cafe, but there's a really good space here that you can be really close to what's going on.
I'd love people to come see the show. I think it'll make you laugh. It might make you wince. You probably will see things that you don't expect to, and maybe we could have a little chat or conversation about kind of nudity, double standards, or gender expectations and stereotypes. But mostly it's a really, really fun show with heart, and I hope people enjoy it.
A fun show with heart. Miranda Porter, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.